Hanoi Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, April 16th. Coming up, we'll learn that many hospitals use AI, but few are testing for accuracy and bias. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Boneyard Creek has a long history of flooding and drainage problems. The creek connects the cities of Champaign and Urbana, which have been taking steps to make the space safer and more accessible. IPM Student Newsroom's Diana Jung has more.
More than 30 years ago, major flooding prompted city officials to create the Boneyard Creek Improvement Plan. Much of the work aimed at addressing flooding issues has been completed. Now the focus is on better walking paths and bike trails. Shannon Benarek is a civil engineer with the city of Champaign. She says some areas are hard to reach.
It's a nice little nature area, but you can't really get to it. So part of what this Phases BC will do is connect all the different pieces and improve that pathway through there.
Improvements will also include more trash cans, better lighting, and nature walks above the water. I'm Diana Zhang, IPM News.
The University of Illinois is suing the federal government over a cap on energy grants. Last week, the Department of Energy announced its plans to cut its university research grants for indirect administrative and facility costs down to 15%. The department says that will halt inefficient spending while expanding American research. On Monday, the U of I system joined a lawsuit with the Association of American Universities and 8 other schools. The suit says the cap is a, quote, flagrantly unlawful action and a virtual carbon copy of a separate funding cut to health research that a judge already blocked. The filing claims the new policy would devastate scientific research. It states those grants help fund administrative staff, computers for large volumes of data, and specialized nuclear-related facilities. According to the lawsuit, U of I is one of the largest recipients of DOE funding, with an individual cap of nearly 59% on research grant funding. Decatur Public Schools is one of 27 Illinois school districts that has lost access to COVID-19 relief grants. That's because the Trump administration has ended an extension on spending pandemic funding that the federal government had already awarded. The school district had planned to use federal dollars for several projects, including construction of a new magnet school. Mike Curry is the chief operational officer for Decatur Public Schools. He told the school board last week the district may have to spend $2 million from its general fund for those projects.
Due to the logistics and weather delays, the completion of 4 major projects were delayed, and instead of rushing completion, we had a conversation, we worked hard, we filled out the waiver, we believed in the concept of the waiver.
Illinois has joined a coalition of 16 other states and the District of Columbia in a lawsuit to restore access to the funding for one more year. Governor J.B. Pritzker's office is shelling out millions of taxpayer dollars to Illinois' film and TV industry. Mawa Iqbal has more.
The Pritzker administration spent $653 million last year on a workforce training program, as well as extending a tax credit through 2032 that offers producers 30% off all qualified expenditures. Pritzker says these investments have led to an estimated 18,000 hires.
We do in state government.
The leader of Chicago's film office left last December. The governor says his team is working with the city to fill that role as quickly as possible. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Still to come, we'll learn that many hospitals use AI, but few are testing for accuracy and bias. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, sunny with a high of 64 degrees, with a north wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 48 degrees, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 65 degrees, southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 57 degrees, southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. And for Friday, partly cloudy, breezy, and warmer with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 80 degrees, and a south wind 15 to 25 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, have you noticed that people seem angrier these last few years?
According to a recent Mood of the Nation survey, 9 in 10 Americans from across the political spectrum say a recent political or news event got their blood boiling. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk about why and how we can manage it next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Most U.S. hospitals use some type of artificial intelligence, but around half of them are testing these algorithms for accuracy and bias. So what impact can this have on patients? Side Effects Public Media's community engagement specialist, Lizzie McGreevy, spoke about that with Brian Levy, a producer with health policy news organization Tradeoffs.
So what do we know about how and why hospitals are using AI?
What we're talking about right now really comes from some new research from Paige Nong at the University of Minnesota and others. And it's the first national look at how hospitals are using AI. What we see, the most common way is to predict health trajectories or risks for their patients in the hospital. So like predicting the fall risk for someone when they're hospitalized or predicting if someone's going to get sepsis. The second most common way that they're using AI is to identify high-risk folks who have left the hospital who they may need to follow up care. So if someone is at risk for an infection, they want to be able to predict that risk and intervene early. And the third most common way that hospitals are using AI is actually kind of administrative stuff, right? So like scheduling, billing, the more operational side of things. We're seeing a lot of AI used for that in hospitals as well.
Can you walk us through the bias concerns with AI use in hospitals?
Yeah, so these really date back to a famous paper from 2019 published by Ziad Obermeyer and some colleagues. And it found that there was this AI algorithm that was being used by a large health insurer to, again, predict people's health needs. And this algorithm was biased. It had used past health costs as a predictor for people's future health needs. The problem with that is, though, Black patients often spend less on healthcare because they have less access. And because that data that was used to train the algorithm was biased, the algorithm itself ended up being biased against Black patients. Those patients needed to be much sicker than white patients to get the same recommended care. And we know from interviews that Paige Nong, this researcher, has done previously, that a lot of hospitals are not scrutinizing their AI tools to make sure that, you know, these biases that we all know exist in our healthcare system aren't being perpetuated by these AI tools. And so now, for the first time, we have some national data showing that this isn't just a kind of isolated concern, but this is actually a widespread issue across the country.
Okay, so if I happen to be a patient at a hospital that's using AI, should I be concerned about a misdiagnosis? What are the risks here for patients?
Even though the AI use is pretty widespread, it still may not actually be totally clear or obvious to a lot of patients that AI is being used in their care. And Paige Nong, the researcher from the University of Minnesota, says based on her research, she's also not that worried about clinical errors, you know, the misdiagnoses types of things, because hospitals have a lot of safeguards and protocols in place to avoid those, even before AI. She's more worried about patients being harmed by those non-clinical uses I mentioned.
Their appointments might be getting cut short, but they don't know why. Or they might be having trouble with a bill, and they can't get somebody on the phone. And it is possible that these kinds of predictive AI tools are shaping their experience of the healthcare system outside of the direct clinical care or outside of their direct relationship with their doctor.
And so are there enough guardrails to make sure that AI is used in a way that doesn't negatively impact some of these patients?
I mean, that's the big question, Lizzie. You know, some of the bigger hospitals, they have pretty rigorous processes for kind of vetting and testing their AI tools. And there are large industry groups that are trying to pull together best practices that hospitals can follow here. But there's a lot of concern about whether particularly smaller hospitals and clinics that serve poorer and more marginalized communities will have the resources to make sure that the AI they're using is safe and effective. The Biden administration was very involved in pushing for more transparency and regulation in this space, but many people expect the Trump administration to take a lighter touch. Some folks think that will promote more innovation, but others are really worried that it could lead to patients being exposed to more bad and harmful AI.
That was Trade-Off's Ryan Levy speaking with Side Effects' Lizzie McGreevy. Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Diana Jung, Emily Hayes, Mawa Iqbal, and Ryan Levy. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.